On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Don't touch me.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Unless you know me, don't touch me. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No. No, that's not me. No. Hey, join me for the next half hour as I complain about things. That's what I do. It's my calling. We get it, Ron. You've got a theme song. We get it. All right. Fine. Good. How are you today? My gosh, you look a little more animated than usual. So that's good. I guess that's a start. Excuse me. I'm going to take a sip of water. I'm going to do it live on the air. I've never taken a sip of water live on the air before. This will be a first. Oh, hold on, please. Okay, that was dainty. It's been a long time since I've been on a date, but I used to when I was a younger man. When I was a manly younger man, I used to go out on dates. I was living in New York City, which is a perfect place to go out on dates because there's a lot of people that you can date. Everybody's busy, so they don't really stalk you that much. They just don't have time. So it's not so bad. There are plenty of bars and restaurants and stuff. So I used to date a lot. And I wasn't really into men's cologne at all because it's expensive. And, you know, and then you get caught up on one smell, and then all it takes is for some woman to say, that's a weird smelling thing. And, oh, great, I just spent $50 on this. So I wasn't into the perfume and the aftershave and the cologne kind of thing. So what I would do is, I used to meet my dates in Manhattan in the around Bloomingdale's. I don't know, it's like about 59th Street, 60th, 61st, right in there. Huge store. And when you walk into Bloomingdale's, big department store, I don't even know if it's there anymore. It was a long time ago, man. It was a long time ago. It was longer ago than 2 hours. It was a long time ago. It was not years. It was decades. And decades. And centuries. And millennials ago. Anyway, so before the date, I used to get dressed up because in those days, we got dressed up for things. Yeah, if we had to go anywhere other than the convenience store, we dressed up. We put clothes on. The concept, incredible. But we dressed up. We looked good. We checked ourselves out in the mirror. We had mirrors back then. It was reflection upon ourselves, not only our clothing, but deep into our inner souls. So I'd get dressed up, looking good, man, looking good, because I was younger and I was looking good. And it was looking good. So I would walk into Bloomingdale's, and when you do this, the first thing that you encounter is a bunch of really weird-looking ladies. And they were in the cosmetics department, and it's where they had the jewelry and the aftershave and the colognes, and they would hire these people, a lot of ladies. They'd be wearing lab coats, as if spraying cologne on people required some type of a lab certificate or chemistry degree or something. But they were beautiful women who had way too much makeup on. And I'm not talking about like way too much makeup. I'm talking about way too much makeup on. They rivaled circus clowns. They were pretty circus clowns is what they were. But way too much. They had lashes that like extended 10 feet from their face and mascara by the truckload. They were the disgusting looking people, but yet pretty. It was an enigma. It was you're beautiful and yet repulsive. It was crazy. But there were about five or six of these ladies, and they'd be floating around. And as people were walking by the cosmetic counter and the perfume counter, they would have these little bottles and spray the people with it. And I knew which lady had the best perfume smell. And, I'd let them give me a little sample on the wrist. But then I would take the wrist and smear it all over my body. And that was how I saved money on buying cologne to smell good. I just walked into Bloomingdale's and asked to be sprayed. It was almost like mosquito and tick control. And then I got even cheaper. It got even cheaper than that. Because sometimes I wasn't in the Bloomingdale area, and yet I was still going out on a date with a lovely young woman, or at least I thought she'd be. I got even lazier. And we got magazines. I got magazines in my apartment. An apartment, by the way, is a small house that you don't own. Just for you to understand what I'm talking about. It's a very small house. It's a couple of rooms. Matter of fact, my first apartment was a studio apartment. And it was not a studio, like a television studio or radio studio that I'm now used to. A studio means nothing. It just means it was one room. And it wasn't even a big room. Well, let me show you my kitchen. It's in that corner. Oh, the bedroom? Right there next to the refrigerator. The bathroom? That's a separate room. That's a separate room. Other than that, man, you've just had the tour. That's pretty much it. Ron, you have a lovely place here. It's a little small. I know. I have to go outside to change my mind. Old joke, Henny Youngman. Anyway, so I would get magazines at my apartment. And in the magazines, and I don't know if they do it anymore, I don't think they do, it was the first introduction to the United States of Scratch and Sniff. Yeah, Scratch and Sniff, which means you would open up the magazine, and there'd be like a little card inside attached to the magazine. It'd be a sample of a smell of a perfume that or a cologne that was out on the market. And it was in the magazine all the time. There were a couple of them in every issue of every magazine, even Sports Fishing and Sports Illustrated. And I would take this card and I would scratch it, but instead of sniffing it, you cheap bastard, instead of sniffing what I had just scratched, I would rub it on me. And that was enough of a subtle smell for a woman to say, you smell nice today. I know. Newsweek. It's Newsweek. Newsweek, is that the name of the cologne you're wearing? I guess. It's where it came from. No, I would not tell the woman where my smell came from. After a while, they would get wise to it and say, Ron, you smell good. What magazine is that? Okay, you got me. Dating was fun. because you never knew what you were going to get. It was like Christmas or Hanukkah, where something would be gift-wrapped and you'd have to open it up to find out what it was. That's what dating was to me. All these lovely women gift-wrapped in clothing and wonderful smells and pleasant personalities. But then if you opened the gift, you'd find inside was, I already have one of those. I don't like those. Could you return them? That's what dating was to me. It was a report on how much baggage one has. And sometimes I couldn't discern that from the first date, but I was good at something at dating. And that was, I was able, through conversation, which I loathe, but I am good at it, but I loathe it. Through conversation, I could find out what the other person was all about in a very short period of time. I didn't need a second date. I didn't need a second date. If we were going out to eat at a restaurant, I could pretty much discern their personalities between the appetizer and the salad. And that's pretty fast. Some people have to wait till the dessert or another meal. I had it licked at the salad, baby. I had it licked at the salad. It was what kind of dressing they ordered on the salad, what kind of food they ordered, that kind of thing. If you go out on a date with a woman and you don't know, it's a first date, and you go to a restaurant and they order the steak, it's not going to work out. It's just not going to work out. It means they're more interested in eating a really good meal, like being opportunistic. Eating a steak is not a pleasant thing to watch for a man or for a lot of women. It involves a lot of chewing, maybe some gristle. Not pretty. Ordering the lobster to seafood restaurant. Pack your stuff up. Get the hell out of here. I'm not watching that. I'm not watching you dismember a cockroach. Get out of here. This is not a date. This is a dismembering. I like the woman that just wanted a salad.
I have a salad with chicken. Chicken on top of a salad, please.
Okay, that's good. I like that. This is a person that not necessarily takes care of their body, but on a first date is conscious of that scenario. That's what I like. I think that's the kind of thing that really made a difference. And that's when I became good at reading people. And then when dessert would come around, if they ordered the large piece of chocolate cake or the, what they call it, the chocolate lava explosion. What do they call that thing? The lava cake? I don't know what it is. A lot of chocolate, huge. No, honey. No. Have a nice day. We're splitting this bill. But if they just ordered I just have like one scoop of ice cream. Okay. All right. I gotcha. You're tantalizing me. You like it sweet, but you're not going to reveal too much of that sweetness right now. I like that. So that was impressive to me. Are you writing this stuff down? These are dating tips. And they're free. I'm not charging you for this. Did I ever ask you for money? By the way, if you're listening to the show, if you're on one of those social media things listening to the show and not on the radio listening to the show, and you have the opportunity to follow or like the program, my web designers would appreciate it. I don't give a fuck, but my social media, I have a social media person now because I don't know what the hell I'm doing with that stuff. I've never paid attention. I don't even know where this show, I've been told we're on like 50 different platforms, and I don't know what that means. But I don't pay attention. I just do the show. I don't pay attention to that stuff. So I got a social media person. And the social media person says, make sure that people listen to your show. They like it. I said, well, what about, should they love it? No, Ron, just shut up. Make sure they like it or they follow you. Why do I want people following me? wherever I go, are they going to follow me? Ron, it's a social media thing. I don't know who you are or what you're talking about, but I think you're probably nice. Anyway, if you do that, I appreciate it, and I don't know why. I don't even know why I appreciate it, but I guess I should. I don't know. Doing a lot of things in life that I should be doing, but I don't really care to. But I'm doing it because I should do it. That's kind of pathetic, but I guess that's what you do when you live on a planet with other people. Who knew? But I guess that's what you're supposed to do. So, I could read women really, really well. And guys, they're the simplest thing to read in the world. They don't even have to talk sometimes, but just like muttering one word. If a curse word comes out of their mouth and it has nothing to do with hitting their finger with a hammer, then you know we're going down the wrong path here. Someone who has no mastery of the English language but uses four-letter words as if they're communication tools. Yeah, so I'm pretty good at that. Then there's the baggage thing. I'm not scared of a woman that has baggage, especially in the airport. I mean, she travels a lot. That's not what I'm talking about, though. Women who have pasts, you know, that's called baggage. Like, you know, you have a lot of baggage. You know what? You cannot choose your childhood. That is set for you. That is on a silver platter. You do not have a choice about that. If you have parents that are basically coupled as an asshole, a demonstration, you have no choice. You have to endure it. And that will carry you the rest of your life. So when I hear these child, and I'm very good about getting the baggage out of people. I'm very good about that. I don't say, how are you? I say, what's your problem? That's how I start them. Hi, my name is Ron. What's your name?
Kathy.
Kathy, what's your problem?
Ron, I'm so glad you asked me. When I was a child, my father was an alcoholic, and he was so nasty.
I know, I get it. Okay, you've put yourself out on the table with one question. But I get it, you know, what could you do? What could you do, Kathy?
I ran away from home.
What else are you going to do? Actually, I give you credit for having the balls to do that. Anyway, people have these sordid pasts, sort of. We all do. They damage us for the rest of our lives, and the impressive person is the one that turned their life around. That I like. I think that's, like, strong. I like a woman to be somewhat attractive. I mean, you know, something. Maybe even just a necklace or something. But what I really find attractive in both men and women, not that I'm into men, but I'm just saying, is people who are smart, just smart. They know how to maneuver life. They get it. I like smart people. I don't like people who are just smart and that's it. But that's a major component that I like. Someone that knows shit, you know, who knows what they're talking about. Someone who's powerful, but not so powerful that they're obnoxious. There's this line that, it's like the Mason-Dixon line. It's a line that you cross and there's no returning. There's no going back. There's no shoving the toothpaste back in a tube. I like powerful people, but not so powerful that they're obnoxious. You've crossed the line. You must go now. Be off with you. Off with her head. Well, that's a little graphic. But, all right. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, my guest will join us right back after this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Dr. Jeff Werber is practicing veterinary medicine. He's been doing it for over 30 years. Oh, my God. He's one of the few actively practicing veterinary medical journalists in the U.S. Hey, good to speak to you. We always like to talk to veterinarians. I always get them confused with vets, and I always say thank you for your service. But thank you for your service anyway.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's funny, we always say, when we speak, when we write, we always try to use the full word veterinarian because of that. Because we say, wait, are you a car? Or are you an ex-army? What do you mean a vet?
Exactly. we're talking about, we're talking about pet scratching, and then we're getting into some other things, but... I have a dog. Dog is scratching constantly, no matter, and I do the monthly flea treatment and things like that. Is it normal for a dog to scratch at itself continually?
Well, it's normal for a dog to scratch occasionally. Once it becomes continual, when it becomes, bothers them, when it actually interrupts their regular activities like eating and playing and chasing that ball, or they're rubbing and scooting and, chewing on themselves, then it's not normal. And, it leads to problems. It's often, especially this time of year, but it can happen all year, dogs scratch because of allergies. They don't sneeze. They don't have the runny eyes. They don't have the scratchy throat like we do. They actually scratch. And they itch. And they, as I said, they rub and they chew. So it is... obviously something to be reckoned with, and the more they do it, and I'm sure you've seen dogs that have scabs along their back and the fleas, and there are many allergens that are affecting them, not only the pollens that affect us, but it's also things around the house. It could be, obviously, their food. It could be house dust. It could be house dust mites. It could be tobacco smoke, wool and cotton and certain flowers in the house. There are so many possible allergens in a dog's environment. So it's really important to understand when your dog's itching is too much itching. And talk about, I have a great website that I direct pet owners to, and it's called youranimalinstinct.com, all one word, Your Animal Instinct, sponsored by Zoetis. And basically within the site, you can learn more about canine allergy, and you can take a quiz. It's called the Itch Instinct Quiz. And what this quiz does, it really will help clarify whether or not your dog's itching is a little too much. And if so, it will direct you, of course, to see your veterinarian.
Great.
And another program that Zoetis has been sponsoring and is tied in, as you mentioned, to the canine itch.
Yeah.
It's called the Canine Courage Program.
What is that?
And it's a wonderful program that is providing healthcare assistance to retired military and police dogs, as well as to active service dogs assisting veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Wow.
So when that quiz is taken, that triggers a donation by Zoetis to this Canine Courage program.
Very cool.
It's really a win-win-win.
Okay.
We're going to be helping our pets. You're going to learn more about your dog's itch, helping these service dogs and helping the veterans whom these service dogs are helping. So, as they said, it's a wonderful program.
So there is a connection between veterinarians and vets.
Absolutely. How do you like that?
Oh,
so the veterinarians helping the vets. And also, more importantly, with the completion of the quiz and learning more, you will learn more about some medications, new medications especially.
Yes.
Because typically in the past, and I, as well as other veterinarians, have been resorting to, of course, the antibiotics, as you mentioned, to treat the secondary infections associated with this, but also things like corticosteroids and immunosuppressive agents. And they are effective, but they also have side effects. whether it's excessive drinking and excessive urination, liver problems, increased appetite. Obviously, it's a problem, but yet it's been worth it because we were helping our dogs. Well, now there's a new medication by Zoetis called Apoquil, and it is the best. I mean, I hate to talk about a dog allergy, but it's a cat's meow. I mean, it is not to be used on cats, but it's for dogs. And it is the first medication of its kind that actually attacks the canine itch at its core without the side effects. And honestly, I've had clients call me and have seen results within 2 hours.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's great.
I wish I could take this stuff because I have allergies.
I know. People have asked me, can I take it? No, it's just for dogs, but it is really effective and safe. And without the side effects. Yeah. So, you know, the way I look at the program is between the medication, the Apoquil, between the canine, you know, learning more about the canine itch, the Itch Instinct Quiz, youranimalinstinct.com. We are doing so much for our dogs and for the very special dogs that are helping our veterans.
Great. Is licking also an allergic kind of reaction like scratching? Because my dog always licks a lot themselves as well.
Absolutely, especially when they're kind of rolled over and they're licking either their feet.
Yeah.
If they're licking their feet a lot, we often think of food allergy or pollen allergy.
Wow.
Or they're licking their groin area. And again, that also is going to be pollen allergy.
I thought that was for pleasure.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that might be too, but I would worry about that. And then, of course, the chewing, you know, like a dog whips around and starts nibbling at
the
skin.
Yes.
I would look for fleas in that one.
Oh, all right.
And, I mean, literally, they can be sitting and relaxing, and all of a sudden they turn around like a mile a minute, and they're just going nuts.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Those are the symptoms.
I wish you were my veterinarian, but I don't. You're probably not nearby. You're probably filled up. But anyway.
Well, you can come out to California. We'd love to see you.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a trip to have my dog checked out. Anyway, give me some websites where I can get more information when you're not around.
Okay. The website is youranimalinstinct.com, and that is the best.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Let me ask you one more
thing. All right. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I kind of like you in a way, and in another way, you repulse me. I don't understand it. Do you ever look in the mirror and say to yourself, ugh, I got to deal with this? What am I going to do with this? Yeah. Here's what you do. Scratch and sniff and put it on your body and you'll be attractive to everybody. So start subscribing to magazines, kids. I don't even know if they still do that. I don't even know. I don't read magazines anymore. You know why? I just don't know why. I really should stop talking at this point. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.